Hi, this is the March 18, 2024 edition of Scholastic News for grades 5 and 6. I'm Chris Radio volunteer Karen Finnegan. On the front cover is a photo of pilot Amelia Earhart standing on top of her plane. And the headline reads, Mystery Solved? Amelia Earhart Vanished Without a Trace in 1937. Have explorers finally found her plane? History Mystery. Vanished. For decades, people have wondered what happened to Amelia Earhart. Will new images finally give an answer? As you read this, think about why does Amelia Earhart continue to fascinate people? Words to know. Aviator, noun, the pilot or operator of an aircraft. Sonar, noun, technology that uses sound waves to detect the location of underwater objects. On July 2, 1937, Amelia Earhart was well on her way to making history. The world-famous pilot was about three-quarters of the way through a journey that would make her the first woman to fly around the world. But she never finished the trip. Her plane vanished somewhere over the Pacific Ocean that day, and Earhart was never heard from again. Nearly 87 years later, exactly what happened to the legendary aviator remains one of history's greatest mysteries. But in January, an ocean exploration group announced that it may have found an important clue. Earhart's plane. Celebrity pilot. Earhart was a pioneer in flight at a time when few women flew airplanes. In 1932, she became the first female aviator to fly solo across the Atlantic Ocean. 3 years later, she became the first pilot, male or female, to fly alone from Hawaii to California. She was one of the most famous people of the time, kind of like Taylor Swift is today, says Dorothy Cochrane, an aviation expert at the National Air and Space Museum. For her next big challenge, Earhart wanted to circle the globe. She was joined by navigator Fred Noonan, who would plot the course of their round-the-world trip. In May 1937, the pair took off from Oakland, California. Lost at sea. By early July, they had reached the island of New Guinea in the Pacific Ocean. They had traveled more than 21,000 miles, making more than two dozen stops on five continents. Their next stop would be tiny Howland Island, more than 2,500 miles away. But something went terribly wrong during the flight. The sky was cloudy, and Earhart and Noonan had trouble spotting the island. After about 20 hours in the air, their plane was low on fuel. Earhart sent urgent radio messages to a U.S. Coast Guard ship near Howland Island. Her final message was received at about 8:43 a.m. on July 2nd. Earhart's disappearance shocked the world. The press was covering her flight, and big crowds greeted her everywhere, Cochrane says. Then she was just gone. The search begins. Search teams spent about 2 weeks looking for signs of Earhart, Noonan, or their plane, but the crews had no luck. Because no one knew exactly where the plane had disappeared, the search area was huge, about the size of Texas. Over the years, many people have come up with theories about what happened to Earhart and Noonan. Cochrane and many other experts believe the answer is simple. They think the plane ran out of fuel, crashed into the ocean, and sank. Now, decades later, people are still trying to solve the mystery. In January, an ocean exploration group named Deep Sea Vision announced that it may have located her plane. Using sonar and an unmanned underwater vehicle, the crew searched thousands of square miles of the Pacific Ocean floor. They spotted an object they think could be Earhart's long-lost plane within 100 miles of Howland Island. The Deep Sea Vision team plans to investigate further. In the meantime, the debate about what happened to Earhart lives on. It's a great mystery, Cochrane says. Someday we'll find something. I'm hopeful. Did they survive? Some people think Amelia Earhart and Fred Noonan survived after their plane went missing. One popular theory is that they crash-landed on a tiny island called Nikumaroo, about 400 miles from Howland. Days after the plane disappeared, radio operators in the Pacific reported hearing distress calls coming from near Nikumaroo. Over the decades, artifacts have been found there, including scraps of metal that could be from a plane. Still, the island and the water surrounding it have been searched using everything from trained dogs to deep-sea robots. Nothing linked to Earhart or Noonan has ever been found. National news. Too many tourists. Big crowds are putting a strain on America's national parks. As you read this, think about what can visitors do to help protect national parks? Words to know. Alleviate, verb, to make something less severe or difficult. Stewards, noun, plural, people who are responsible for taking care of a place. America's national parks are known for their wide open spaces, natural beauty, and stunning wildlife. But these days, visitors might also find long lines of cars, litter on packed hiking trails, and people taking selfies dangerously close to animals. Parks in the national park system had more than 311 million visitors in 2022, and the number of visitors to some of the most popular national parks increased last year. More people can often mean more problems. If all those people left trash behind, or fed wildlife, or were not considerate of the other visitors, that would be a really messy park, says J.D. Tanner. He's the director of education and training at Leave No Trace. The organization encourages people to protect the outdoors. As crowds get bigger, the National Park Service, NPS, has a difficult challenge. It must balance people's enjoyment of parks with its mission of protecting these special places. But the NPS can't do it alone. Visitors play an important role in preserving parks, too. Crowd control. The NPS is taking steps to alleviate some of the strain that comes with overcrowding. This summer, several parks will use a timed entry system to limit the number of visitors. Tourists must make a reservation to enter these parks at a certain time. The NPS advises people to plan ahead so they know where and when reservations are needed. It also encourages people to visit during less busy times and to avoid the big crowds by exploring lesser-known parks. You don't have to go to Yellowstone, Tanner says. You probably have a lot of amazing state parks or city parks in your backyard. Parks are also cracking down on bad behavior. For example, hiking to Hyperion, the world's tallest living tree, is no longer allowed at Redwood National Park in California. Visitors had trampled the forest around the tree and left behind trash and human waste. Now anyone who attempts to get close to the tree could be fined $5,000 and face 6 months in jail. Keep your distance. The NPS is also educating people about dealing with the park's wild residents. Last June, officials at Yellowstone National Park issued a statement urging visitors to keep a safe distance from wildlife. It came about a week after tourists in the park picked up a baby elk and put it in their car. The calf escaped. Later that summer, a bison attacked a woman in the park. Tanner says many tourists don't realize that the animals aren't there for entertainment. They see other people have posted cute pictures on social media, Tanner explains. They're not thinking that at any minute the animal could decide to defend itself or its babies that might be nearby. Know before you go. Leave No Trace has tips for safely enjoying the outdoors. Above all, Tanner says, it's about being considerate of others and respecting nature. Let's be stewards of those spaces and really think about the folks that are coming after us, Tanner says. One day your kids are going to be coming in there and enjoying those spaces too. Protect our parks. Enjoying nature shouldn't mean disturbing it. Here are some tips for visiting a national park or any natural area. Choose the right path. Use existing campsites and trails. Don't make your own. Steer clear of flowers and small trees. Once damaged, they may not grow back. Trash your trash. Put litter and leftover food, even crumbs, in trash cans or carry it home. Leave what you find. Don't touch plants, rocks, and historical items. Leave them as you find them for the next person to enjoy. Respect wildlife. Observe animals from a safe distance and never approach, follow, or feed them. Human food is unhealthy for animals. Feeding them can alter their behavior and put people at risk. Kids in the news. Beauty boss. Word to know. Entrepreneurs. Noun, plural. People who start new businesses. Kira Milan Brown poses for the camera, playfully showing off her curly locks. In one video, her hair is styled in braids. In another, it flows freely. Kira is only 11, but she's already the proud owner of a hair care business called Coily Curls. With their mom's help, Kira and her 8-year-old sister, Callie, run the online shop from their home in Montreal, Canada. They sell headbands, clips, combs, bonnets, and more. Kira also posts hair care tutorials or step-by-step guides on social media for her more than 110,000 followers. One of her main goals is to help kids love their hair, no matter its length, color, or texture. Everybody's hair is beautiful, Kira says. Growing a business. Creating hair care videos started as a hobby for Kira and Callie. In 2020, their mom, Shanika Paris, agreed to help turn their YouTube channel into a business. They decided to create products that help young black girls love the natural texture of their curls. The sisters needed a name for their company. Coily Curls seemed like the perfect choice. Next, they set up a website where they could sell their products. Then, in 2022, the sisters won $10,000 in a contest for small businesses. They used the money to expand their shop, adding even more items. Soon, orders were coming in from as far away as Italy and the United Kingdom. Today, Kira spends about an hour on her business each weekday, plus more on weekends. She and Callie pack and ship each order and work together to create new videos. Their next goal is to add a Coily Curls line of shampoos, conditioners, and hair creams. Kira wants to inspire other kids to become entrepreneurs. You're never too young to do anything, Kira says. If you set your mind to it, then you can achieve it. Most of all, she wants all kids to feel great about themselves. You are perfect the way you are, and so is your hair, Kira says. Debate it. Should kids have recess every day? Next school year, students in California will have more time to play each day. A new law will require public schools in the state to give kids in kindergarten through eighth grade at least 30 minutes of recess on regular school days. California joins other states with similar laws, including Illinois and Washington. People in favor of daily recess say it's a good way for kids to reach healthy exercise goals. Health experts recommend that kids get at least 60 minutes of physical activity each day. Also, studies have shown that unstructured free time, like recess, can help kids make new friends. Recess has many benefits, says Beth Eisen of PlayWorks, a group that works with schools to design recess programs. Kids learn skills that they'll use for the rest of their lives, like teamwork and cooperation. Still, many school officials argue that too much recess eats into valuable learning time. Some schools have cut down on recess, using the extra time for more instruction in subjects like math and reading. Some people also worry that more recess time could lead to increases in bullying and playground injuries. Here's what two of our readers think. Luke Maddox from Delaware says yes, kids should have recess every day. After sitting in class for long periods of time, it's good to go outside, run around, and stretch your muscles. My friends and I love playing soccer, foursquare, and other games at recess. Recess is also important because it gives kids free time to hang out and talk with friends. It's one of the only times during the school day when kids can take a break and rest their brains. That can help us focus better in class. Mava Moberg from Utah says no. At my school, we have recess every day, but I don't think it's necessary. Recess takes place outside on the playground. When the weather's too hot or too cold, playing outdoors isn't much fun. We get plenty of exercise during physical education, parentheses, P.E., end parens, class anyway. Plus, in P.E. class, our teachers make sure that we're being respectful and that no one is getting bullied. During recess, bullying is more likely to happen since the time is less structured. What do you think? Highlight evidence to support your opinion and then use that information to write an argument essay. You can cast your vote at scholastic.com/SN56. On the last page of this issue, there's an infographic and map about Amelia Earhart's final flight. You might want to ask your parent, teacher, or guardian to help you with the questions related to it. There are also questions related to the rest of the issue that you can ask for help with. That completes the March 18, 2024 edition of Scholastic News for grades 5 and 6. I'm Karen Finnegan. So long until next time.